Tales from Mortimer Poe. Mortimer Poe, the half-dead raven, is a distant cousin to Hunan and Munin, the ravens that bring tales of the world to Odin. But Mortimer, born outside the window of Edgar Allan Poe, only brings tales of worlds that aren't real to the ears of those who want to explore alternate realms of possibility. Today, Mortimer brings you the tale of Witch's Soup. I was stirring my cauldron as my new client came in the door behind me. I knew I cut an intimidating figure, silent in a full-length robe, standing in front of an open flame in a big black cauldron. I'd built a bakehouse with a huge hearth on my property specifically to provide my clients with this dramatic introduction. The traditional cast iron cauldron really sets the mood, but I didn't want to burn down my house for the sake of a first impression. I stirred the pot with a long-handled ladle without acknowledging him. Why do they always call it witch's brew? Was it because traditionally women brewed beer? So when beer made men act all funny, they blamed the brewmakers instead of their own overindulgence? But we've traditionally been cooks, too, and they never call it witch's soup. I hadn't even looked at the guy yet, but his impatient sigh and the scuffle of his shoes on the stone floor told me he'd come in a suit. Probably a tie, too. I glanced up into the small mirror high on the wall, concealed from my client's view. Yep. Black suit, white shirt, and a plain red tie and a shade so bright it could blind. "Do you take credit cards?" the man asked when he just couldn't wait anymore. This isn't a big box store. Magic, true magic, requires something more than a transaction. You're making an investment, not a purchase. I nodded my head toward a plain plastic chair in the corner. "Sit, and tell me why you've come." He didn't. This one was a standard boardroom bully who thought everyone outside his office was a sycophant, too. I bet women barely registered on this guy's radar unless he wanted to sleep with them. I dialed up the mysterious act. I needed him to eat up my performance. Without turning around, I said, "Sit, Mr. Red Tie."
"No, you listen here. It's bold of you," I interrupted, "to come into a witch's kitchen and snap at her like a shop girl. You must want something very badly to risk offending me." I over-exaggerated my stirring. It didn't matter to my soup, but I wanted to emphasize manners to this lout. "I said, sit."
"But magic, true magic, requires you to follow my instructions."
It didn't, but it sure made things much easier on me when my clients behaved themselves. He stamped his feet more than he needed to before I finally heard his butt hit the plastic. I checked the mirror to make sure he'd settled in. He shuffled uncomfortably in the undersized chair. I'd gotten that just for him, from an elementary school, to subtly make him feel like a child. It also wouldn't catch fire. When I judged he was in the right frame of mind, I pulled the ladle from the cauldron, tapped on the edge to get the soup off, and propped it against the wall. Then I turned to face him. I could tell immediately I wasn't what he expected. Despite being in my 50s, I was what my mother used to call well-preserved, with one of those Hollywood faces that could be anywhere between 30 and 60. His eyebrows bunched together. He expected old and wrinkly, or at least plain. But I'm not willing to be old and ugly just for theatrics. "Now tell me," I said after he'd taken a good long look, "why are you here?" I need you to...
Where are your manners? Again, you risk offending me. Traditionally, a client comes to a witch as a supplicant, begging her help, not like a CEO snapping orders. He stopped shuffling and looked at me. I am a CEO. And so am I told him. Chief executive of Witch Incorporated, with a service you can't buy anywhere else. So show a little respect. For anyone else, I would have said please. But not this guy. This guy would take it the wrong way. He cocked his head and nodded, an arrogant tilt that started at the nose. All right, he said. I was told you might be able to help me. I made a few deals way back when that might not be strictly legal. There's a grand jury indictment breathing down my neck. I can't go to jail. I sighed. Sounds like you need a lawyer, not a witch. I have a lawyer, he said. More than one. They all say I'm going to lose. Not just the criminal charges, mind you. Even if I stay out of jail, I won't have a pot to piss in after the legal fees, court settlements, and civil lawsuits get done with me. My wife will leave me. I didn't like that he included his wife as the afterthought. I still fail to see what you think I can do for you, Mr. Red Tie. Make it all magically go away. That's what you're selling, right? I went perfectly still. That always unnerved people, especially this kind of type A asshole. I let him sit with how childish he sounded. But he didn't start to fidget and get antsy like I expected. Instead, his body stilled too, mirroring mine, and he stared back perfectly calm. Okay, tough guy. I can play this game too. I didn't blink. I'm not a genie. I don't grant wishes. Tell me what you want me to do for you. He leaned forward, putting his elbows on his knees. I don't know. Curse the witnesses so they can't testify. I walked back over to my cauldron. I might do that. But that isn't really going to help you, now is it? He popped up out of his seat. You're right. I can't guarantee that will work, considering how much evidence they have. But there is a statute of limitations. Can you delay the process? Cast a spell so no one can bring a case against me until after the statute of limitations has been exceeded? He came up behind me, uncomfortably close. Oh no. Now he was going to try to put on the charm. I wasn't hideous, so he thought he could seduce his way into getting what he wanted. Great. Just great. I can pay, he whispered next to my ear. A lot. I have an Amex Black card, you know. He put his hand in the small of my back, his fingers kneading through the thick material of the robe like a kitten getting milk from its mama. I managed, barely, to contain my shudder. I did turn around, forcing his hand away from my body. That's an intriguing request. I think I have just the right ingredients to cast a spell that keeps you in a legal-free bubble. It'll cost you, though. And no, I said, putting up a hand between us, mostly so he couldn't get any closer. I could already smell his breath. I don't take American Express. You're going to have to come up with something much better than that. He stepped back and raised his hands, looking like a really fat Fonzie from Happy Days. He said, I can get some cash, or I can get you some stock options if you'd rather have those. Really? Stock options?
after he just admitted he dug a hole so deep he needed magic to get himself out of it? Did this guy think I was a complete idiot? Cash, I told him. 100,000. And one more thing. Mr. Red Tie got his smug smirk. He thought this was a negotiation. I wanted to slap that smile off his face, but I spoke it off him instead. I also want your potency. He actually did a double take. My what? Your potency. He tipped his head to the side and started leering at me.
Well, honey, if you wanted that, all you had to do was ask. I can give you that for free.
He stepped in and reached out to wrap me in his arms. I swirled around, conveniently ending up outside his grip. My robes rustled as I walked over to my potions cabinet, made from aluminum to prevent fires. I looked over my ingredients. I didn't need rare or expensive for this spell. No eye of newt or dried mummy or any of the nastier stuff. I needed slimy to keep from sticking. Huh. Soup. My eyes slid down to a shelf of more ordinary provisions. Anchovy, for the oiliness. And overcooked okra ought to do nicely. That actually didn't sound bad for dinner. The salty anchovies ought to complement the okra, especially if... I shook my head. No time to think about dinner. I picked up the ingredients with one hand. Then, covering my other hand with the cuff of my robe, I grabbed an empty bottle off the very top shelf, careful not to touch the glass with my fingers. I walked wide around Mr. Red Tie to the other side of my cauldron. So, do you accept my deal? I went still again, this time to good effect. His lip twitched, just a little, before he said, "Deal." "Hold this for me." I handed him the empty bottle. "When I tell you, take the cork out of the top." I dumped the okra into the cauldron, then removed the top from the anchovy container and dropped those in as well, letting the last of the juice run out of the can into the soup. I lifted my ladle into the cauldron again, giving it a few swishes to get everything good and mixed. I filled a ceramic bowl with the soup. Damn, it did smell good. Brothy and salty enough to make me salivate. I might have to make some for dinner. "Drink," I said, as deeply and mysteriously as possible. He grabbed at the bowl and gulped it down.
"Hey, that tastes pretty damn good. I thought witch's brew was supposed to be nasty."
"It's soup, not brew. Most of the nasty potions were medicine in disguise. With every Tiffany, Karen, and Linda trying to sell health supplements these days, I don't do medicinal. I concentrate on magic. True magic."
"Uncork." "What?"
I slid the bowl from his hand and set it on the floor. "You got the magic soup. Now it's time to pay up. Uncork the bottle." I started to slide off my robe. He huffed a satisfied laugh.
"Knew it. Knew you wanted some of this. You want a donation in the bottle or a more fun way to get it?"
I watched him frown as he realized I wore jeans and a long-sleeve t-shirt under the robe. What kind of world did this guy live in his head? The porn world? I put my hand on his arm. "Stand over there." I moved him until he was standing right next to the cauldron, almost inside the oversized hearth. He popped the top off the glass bottle.
"Okay."
"Whatever you do, don't let go of the bottle. Otherwise, our deal is off.
I took a couple steps back, robe in hand, then looked down at his feet. Yep. One more second, and his pant leg caught fire. He screamed as he started stamping around, but his expensive suit wicked fire up his leg, catching the edge of his suit coat. Soon he was covered in flame. He hadn't stopped, dropped, or rolled, like he forgot the elementary school mantra. I listened to the pitch of his screams, waiting for just the right moment. When they started conveying real pain instead of just shock, I pushed him to the floor and patted him down with the robe to put out the flames. I grabbed the bottle from his hand and corked it quick, then put it on the shelf. I knelt down next to him as he panted in pain. That was the first part of my payment. I'll expect the cash to arrive after you've been discharged from the hospital.
What the fuck, you bitch!
The burns will delay any prosecution, at least until the skin grafts take. You might get a year, year and a half from that alone. The soup will make the rest slide away so long as you behave yourself in the meantime.
I didn't mean...
I pulled the robe away from him so it wouldn't stick to his skin. Hell, maybe your wife won't leave you now that you can't dick around with the secretaries anymore. Speaking of, you really should be careful whose advice you take on solving your problems. Perhaps women you are sexually harassing aren't the most reliable source. He panted.
What?
I leaned over close to his ear. I already told them I would magically solve their problem. You. And that you would pay for it.
I'm not paying you for this. I'll get you thrown in jail for this.
If you say one word other than you accidentally caught your pant leg on fire and I saved your life, I will magically make all the evidence about your quid pro quo arrangements with your secretary's careers appear for your board of directors. I imagine they would pay me more than $100,000 to make that go away. So are you going to follow directions when I call 911? A tear rolled down his cheek.
Yes. Call the ambulance.
I got out my cell phone and dialed. As soon as I heard the operator, I started shrieking hysterically. I gave the operator my address, and she assured me an ambulance was on its way.
Get here quick, I simpered.
They're 5 minutes out. Do you want me to stay on the line with you? She asked.
No, I need to get some clothes on. Thank you.
I hung up the phone. Mr. Red Tie glared at me.
You're not naked.
No, I said. But it gives a plausible explanation for why you were here. One that, not coincidentally, your company will pay to cover up, so long as there aren't any other indiscretions. He groaned loudly and tried to grab at my leg. I danced back. Remember, magic, true magic, is an investment. And this will pay dividends for years to come. I paused, looking up at my newly filled bottle of potency. For both of us. Mortimer's story, Witch's Soup, was written by Erica Kaler. And Mortimer's narrator for this tale was Erica Kaler. Sound effects were sourced from freesoundlibrary.com.